And so they ran, back through the deserted corridors of the death ship, the hammering of their armored boots on the steel floor, a constant roll of thunder, prophesying a storm to come. Silence flashed the map on his inner helmet again, counting off the floors and levels as they drew slowly closer to where they'd left the pinnace. His heart was pounding and his breath tore at his lungs. Even with the servo mechanisms to help, the hard suit was heavy and clumsy, not designed for running in. And deep down inside him, he knew he'd forgotten something. Something important. He snarled silently inside his helmet and tried vainly to increase his pace. It was taking too long. The Ghost Warriors could be right behind them. He checked his suit's sensors again, but there was no trace of movement anywhere in their limited range, which probably meant the dead man knew a shortcut. He checked the map again, but he couldn't see a quicker route than the one Frost had already chosen. They'd get to the pinnace first. They had to. And finally, there was only one corridor left between them and safety, and the whole group found a second wind that brought them pounding around the final corner, and there they came crashing to a halt. Silence just stood there, a dozen yards from the airlock, his head filled with his own harsh breathing, his heart filled with despair. Between his small force and the airlock stood 100 Ghost Warriors, eerily unprotected against the airless cold, with the dead Captain Pierce at their head.
No. It's not possible. There's no way they could have beaten us here.
But these are dead men, a small voice murmured in the back of his mind. Maybe they know ways that the living cannot walk. His thoughts whirled crazily as he tried desperately to think of something, anything he could do, to steal a victory from the jaws of certain defeat. Pierce smiled at Silence and Frost, his head perched crookedly on his broken neck.
It is over. You must come with us now. The laboratories are waiting.
To hell with that!
Frost pulled a concussion grenade from her belt, primed it, and tossed it neatly into the middle of the masked Ghost Warriors. And the force of the blast threw dead men in all directions. Frost and the rest of her party hardly rocked on their heels, protected by their heavy hard suits. Silence laughed suddenly, back in the game again, and strode toward the airlock, kicking thrashing bodies out of his way. The others followed him, knocking the dead men down as fast as they got to their feet. The dead grabbed at their legs to try and hold them, but dead arms were no match for the hard suit's servo mechanisms. Silence hit the controls, and the airlock doors cycled slowly open. The two security men were hacking at everything in sight with their swords, and dead flesh flew in the air, though no blood flowed. The doors finally opened wide enough, and Silence yelled for his people to break free.
Move it, people! We're leaving!
Abrams and Fine broke away and threw themselves into the airlock. Cross went to follow them, then stopped as a dead man rose up before him. Cross raised his sword, and then hesitated as he took in the gray face before him. It was a familiar face from an old holofilm, and it took him only a moment to place it.
Grandfather.
And in that moment, the dead man raised an old-fashioned disruptor, placed it against Cross's armored belly, and pressed the stud. The energy blast punched right through the hard suit and out the back, and then Cross crumpled slowly to the floor. Silence swung his sword with all his suit's power behind it, and sheared clean through the dead man's neck. The headless body fell away, and Silence sheathed the sword and grabbed Cross by the shoulders. He pulled the screaming man into the airlock and turned to look out at Frost, standing with her back to the doors, sword in hand.
Get in here, investigator! We're leaving!
I'm not coming with you, Captain.
Frost didn't turn around, but her voice came clearly through Silence's comm implant on the command channel, as though she was standing right beside him.
I have to stay behind. Otherwise, one of these undead bastards will just hit the override from this side and keep the airlock from functioning. I have to stay here to hold them off while the rest of you go through to the pinnace. I've known this all along. You never did think ahead enough, Captain.
We'll risk it. Now get in here. That's an order. We're not leaving without you.
You have to. It's vital you get away to report what happened here. The Empire must know that Shub is using stolen ships with dead crews. Once you reach the Dauntless, blow this death ship apart.
I can't open fire while you're still aboard.
Of course you can. It's the logical thing to do.
You didn't leave me to die on the bridge of the Dark Wind.
That was different. There's too much at stake here. And at least my way, they won't be able to make a ghost warrior out of me. Please, John. It's the only way.
Frost hit the airlock controls with her elbow, and the doors closed. Silence had one last glimpse of the investigator throwing herself against the advancing dead men, and then the doors were shut, and she was gone. He turned away to operate the outer doors. He didn't say anything. He didn't trust his voice. His arms and legs were shaking inside his suit, from tension and something more. Cross was still screaming. The two security men had slapped temporary seals over the holes in his armor so he'd survive the crossing to the pinnace. One of them gave the all-clear to Silence, and he opened the outer doors. It took them only a few moments to cross the empty space to the pinnace's lock and pass through that into the waiting ship. Cross fell silent as the emergency drugs the hard suit was pumping into him finally took effect. Abrams and Fine secured him in a seat and then strapped themselves in. Silence took the pilot seat and patched into the pinnace's emergency channel.
Dauntless, this is the captain. I'm on my way back. I have three men with me, one seriously injured. We're all that made it out. The champion is infested with ghost warriors. As soon as we're clear, open up with everything you've got. Destroy the champion. Confirm.
This is the Dauntless. We confirm. Destroy the champion as soon as you've docked.
It took only a few minutes to maneuver the pinnace back to the Dauntless and dock it, but they seemed to last forever. And all the time, Silence saw a single, valiant figure fighting an army of dead men and hoping for a quick death from the Dauntless's guns. He patched into the main ship sensors and watched silently as cannon after cannon opened fire on the champion. Her shields flared into existence immediately, but they were old, inferior shields, and the Dauntless's superior firepower battered them down and slapped them aside. Disruptor bolts hit the old ship again and again, blowing jagged holes in the hull. Escaping energies burned silently in the dark, until finally, the champion exploded in a bloody ball of hellfire, glowing brightly in the long night.
Goodbye, Frost. I'll miss you.
Silence broke the comlink and sank back in his chair, feeling suddenly very tired. The two security men were manhandling an unconscious Cross out the airlock. He couldn't really believe that she was dead yet. He could still feel her presence through his metal link, like a ghost in his head. But presumably, that would fade away in time, like the phantom pain from an amputated limb.
Captain, this is Stelmach. We're getting strange readings here on the bridge. There are reports of fighting coming in from all over the ship. Intruders, appearing from nowhere, killing our people. There are energy weapons discharging on all levels. Dear God, Captain, they're ghost warriors.
No, that's not possible.
They're here, Captain. I can see them through the security cameras. How the hell did they get off the champion? We didn't track any escaping craft.
They teleported. The bastards teleported. That's what I'd forgotten. Remember what we saw at court? Shut is the secret of long-range teleportation. Set up interior force shields throughout the ship, cutting off all infected areas. Have repair teams standing by in case disruptors puncture the shell. And warm up the auto-destruct, just in case.
And Frost died for nothing.
Where's the nearest trouble site, Stelmach?
Two or three quite near you, Captain. Biggest group is one level down, Delta Section. But the security force I sent hasn't got there yet. You better stay clear till I get word it's been secured.
Hell with that! This is my ship. I go where I'm needed. I have business with these murderous bastards. Silence out.
He ran down the corridor, pushing the hard suit to its limits, and all he could think of was making the ghost warriors pay for Frost's death. He'd built a mountain of heads in her name. She'd like that. But it wouldn't be enough. It would never be enough. He took the elevator down to the next level, clenching and unclenching his hands impatiently. The doors opened to sounds of chaos not far away. There were shouts and screams and the sound of energy weapons discharging. That last brought him out of the elevator in a run. They weren't too far from the outer hull in Delta Section, and all it would take was one really unlucky shot to puncture the hole. Explosive decompression probably wouldn't bother the Ghost Warriors much, but it would play hell with everyone else. Silence was suddenly very glad he'd kept his hard suit on. He rounded a corner and came upon a heaving mob of human defenders, struggling to contain a large group of Ghost Warriors. There were wounded and unmoving bodies sprawled everywhere, but in the midst of the living dead men, holding their attention almost single-handedly, was a defiant figure in a battered hard suit, swinging a long sword with both hands. Silence grinned so hard it hurt. He didn't need to see the suit's colors to know who was behind that featureless helmet. No wonder he'd still been able to feel her presence. When the Ghost Warriors teleported their people off the Champion, they'd brought Frost with them, probably unwilling to give up such an important specimen. Silence roared his clan's battle cry and threw himself into the heart of the battle, hacking left and right with vicious sweeping arcs. He cut a path through the dead, unfeeling flesh, laughing as he went, until he was able to put his back against that of the armored figure. They fought well and fiercely, and the Ghost Warriors couldn't get anywhere near them.
Hi. Miss me?
Not for a minute. I knew you were too cussed to die.
That is what it was all about, you know.
The investigators spoke casually in between blows.
Use the Champion to pull us in, distract us with strange voices, and then take over the Dauntless. With you and me as Ghost Warriors, carefully preserved and disguised, Shub could have used us to get in striking range of the Empress herself. Which is presumably why they saved me when the Champion went up. Crafty inhuman bastards. I'm quite impressed.
Silence was too busy to reply. Captain Pierce had turned up again, his head still at an angle, but as determined as ever. He had an old-fashioned disruptor in his hand, but Silence slapped it out of his grasp with a swift, casual movement. The two captains went head-to-head, the living and the dead, swords soaring as they slammed together and sprang away, inhumanly fast. Pierce had a strength and speed beyond anything a living man could normally produce, but Silence had been changed in the madness maze. And he wasn't merely human anymore, either. The hard suit's servo mechanism strained to keep up with him as he swept aside Pierce's attack and defenses alike and dueled him to a standstill. He lifted his sword and brought it down in one blindingly swift movement, and the heavy blade hammered into Pierce's skull, sinking deep into his head, till it finally jarred to a halt on an eye socket. Pierce convulsed as his sundered computer implant crashed and fell apart. Silence jerked his sword free, and Pierce fell twitching to the floor. There were still more Ghost Warriors. Silence fought on, back to back with Frost, cool and calm and quite collected. Strength and speed burned within him, and he felt like he could fight forever. He was linked with Frost again, on every physical and mental level, fighting in that calm twilight state when the sum of the two of them was far greater than their separate parts. And suddenly, there was no one left to fight. The Ghost Warriors lay broken and decapitated all around, and the surviving crew members were wildly cheering their captain and their investigator. Which had to be something of a first for Frost. Usually, people cheered investigators only when they were leaving. They reached up and took off their helmets, and their eyes met in a moment of understanding and appreciation that could never be unsaid or forgotten.
We're not even breathing hard. What are we becoming?
Better.
Inhuman, perhaps.
Frost shrugged as best she could inside her suit.
Humanity's overrated sometimes.
Captain, there are Ghost Warriors all over the ship. Hundreds of them.
Tell me something I don't know. Are we holding our own against them?
Barely. We're afraid to use our disruptors much, but they're not. The largest group is heading for the bridge, despite everything we can do to slow them down. We've only got one chance. From my work with controlling the Grendel aliens, I'm pretty sure the computers controlling the Ghost Warriors must have a central control mechanism, separate from the bodies it moves. Some mechanism they brought with them when they teleported over from the Champion. A single cybernetic mind running its meat puppets. I've had communications scanning the comm channels for unauthorized transmissions, and we've detected one hell of a powerful signal coming from the main hangars in Epsilon section. That's got to be it.
Good work, Stelmach. The investigator and I are on our way. Send as many men as you can after us. If we fail, defend the bridge till it's obvious there's no hope, and then hit the self-destruct. Whatever happens, This ship and its crew is not to fall under Shub's control.
Understood, Captain. Good luck.
He broke contact, and Silence and Frost headed for the elevators.
If I didn't know better, I'd swear he's becoming almost human.
He says much the same about you.
They discarded their cumbersome hard suits for a greater speed and made their way down to the Epsilon hangars without much trouble. The Dauntless was a much bigger ship than the Champion, and the Ghost Warriors were spread thin, trying to cover too many areas at once. Silence and Frost cut them down when they had to, and avoided the rest. They didn't want the enemy to know they were coming. There were a dozen entryways into the Epsilon hangar area, and only a few of them were signposted. Silence and Frost used one of the least obvious, and emerged onto a high, narrow walkway overlooking the bay, without anyone knowing they were there. Some 50 feet below, the Ghost Warriors had cleared a space among the piled-up supply crates, and now a dozen dead men holding disruptors stood guard over an intricate glass and crystal mechanism that glowed with an uncomfortably bright light. Silence pursed his lips thoughtfully and glanced at Frost.
Even with our new abilities, there's no way we can get to that device without being seen or heard. And that many disruptors makes me nervous. Even if they don't hit us, they could hit the hull. We could wait for reinforcements, but with all that cover to hide behind, they could hold off a small army indefinitely. And we are running out of time.
If you can distract them, I can blast that device with my disruptor.
Silence raised an eyebrow. From here?
Of course.
Silence thought about it, but shook his head.
No. Odds are it's protected by a force screen of some kind. I would. And if you fire and fail, we'll have given away our position for nothing.
I've got another idea. Frost looked at him.
This doesn't involve throwing ourselves away in a grand gesture, does it? I've already tried that, and I wasn't too keen about it the first time.
This is simpler. I'm suggesting we use our minds for a change. It's not just our bodies that were changed in the Madness Maze. The strain or excesses of nearly dying on the Champion seem to have pushed me another step up the ladder. You too, probably. We're more than we were. Listen. Concentrate. Can you hear what I'm hearing?
Frost frowned, listening. The hangar bay was quiet, the Ghost Warriors standing silently on guard. In the stillness, she could hear Silence's breathing and her own. And then, very quietly below it all, she sensed as much as heard a low pulsing that rose and fell in sudden spikes. And inside that sound, which wasn't really a sound, she could hear a voice murmuring, cold and inhuman and horribly perfect.
Damn. It's the machine. I can hear it thinking, giving orders. It's not a language or any computer code that I'm familiar with, but somehow I can still understand it. This is the signal Stelmach detected from the bridge, the voice that pulls the Ghost Warrior's strings.
Yes, it is. Apparently we're becoming espers along with everything else. But we can do more than listen to us. We can hurt it. Concentrate on the link between us.
Silence reached out clumsily to her with his mind, and she came to him. Their thoughts mixed and meshed, jumbling together. And then suddenly, they both came into focus, sharp and brilliant, and their minds slammed together and merged to become a whole that was far greater than the sum of its parts. It leapt up and out from the cramped confines of their bodies and struck at the thinking machine in a lightning flash of roaring energies. The force field didn't even slow it. The machine howled horribly, feeling its destruction without ever knowing what or how. And then its center shattered into a million quiescent pieces and collapsed upon itself. The Ghost Warriors fell to the floor and lay still, not even twitching. Their mind was dead. The mind that had been Silence and Frost split apart, and they fell back into their bodies. Their minds slowed, weighed down by flesh again, and they both immediately began to forget what it had been like to be more than human. They had to, or they would lose being human forever. And they weren't ready to do that just yet. They stood staring at each other for a long moment.
We can't tell anyone about this, You know what they do to us. Lionstone would order us destroyed the moment she heard about us. She'd never allow anything as powerful as us to exist in her empire. We can talk about it later. For the moment, how are we going to explain what happened here?
No problem.
Frost put her disruptor away again.
A lucky shot. As simple as that.
Show off. Silence activated his comm implant.
Bridge, this is the captain. Status report, please. The Ghost Warriors are down, right?
I don't know how you did it, but according to the reports coming in, the Ghost Warriors just collapsed and gave up the ghost all over the ship. It's over, and we won. Amazing. I wouldn't have bet on it. I may faint.
Try to hang on till we get back to the bridge. You did well, Stelmach. If you hadn't theorized a central control device and tracked it down, they'd probably have been scooping our brains out with dull spoons by now. You're a hero, just like the rest of your family.
Some hero. I didn't volunteer to go over to the Champion with you.
There are different kinds of heroes. What's important is that you came through when it mattered. Silence out.
Silence and Frost leaned on the walkway railing together, looking down into the hangar bay. The Ghost Warriors still hadn't moved. Silence kept an eye on them anyway, just in case.
I thought we were heading back to the bridge.
In a minute. After all we've been through, I think we're entitled to a short break to get our breath back.
We do lead an interesting life. At least this time we didn't lose the ship.
Right. I think we're finally getting the hang of this hero thing.
Silence thought for a moment, and then looked at Frost.
Do you really think those voices we heard at the beginning were part of the Shub trap?
Of course. What else could they have been?
I don't know. It's just, they seem to be warning us, as much as anything.
But if they didn't come from the Champion, where did they come from?
I don't know. On the whole, I'd rather not think about it. The implications are too disturbing.
Ah, hell. Everyone knows it gets strange out here on the rim.
The monitor screen spun a few fractals as its memory warmed up, and then the flaring colors resolved into a sharp, hollow image. A bleak, metallic horizon, crenellated here and there with shadowy trenches, deep craters, and looming hills of metal scrap. A single figure stepped into view before the camera, making his way carefully over the rutted metal surface. He finally came to a halt, half filling the screen, and looked seriously into the camera. Even buried inside a thick fur coat, he was clearly short and overweight, and above his ruddy face, his flat blonde hair was plastered to his skull. But his eyes were calm, and his mouth was firm, and without quite knowing why, you felt you could trust him to tell you the truth about what he'd seen.
You're looking at Technos 3. Early morning, early winter. The factory complex behind me, owned and run by Clan Wolf, will shortly begin mass production of the new and vastly improved Star Drive. The workers are dedicated, the management strong and decisive, and the small army of guards are trained, experienced, and utterly determined. Ideal conditions, one would have thought, for such an important venture. But this is Technos 3, and things are different here. To begin with, while this planet has the usual four seasons, like any colonized world, the seasons here last only 2 days. Weather conditions therefore understandably tend to the extreme, not to mention the dramatic. In the spring it rains, a constant hammering monsoon that can deliver over an inch of rain in under an hour, every hour. In the summer it bakes, the bare sunlight hot enough to blister unprotected skin in minutes. In the autumn, there are hurricanes and raging winds strong enough to pick up unsecured equipment and carry it for miles. In the winter, it snows. Thick blizzards and heavy drifts bury the surface and anything else not protected by the factory's force screen. Exposure to the cold can kill in minutes. Blood freezes and lesser metals crack. These conditions are not natural. Those meddling computer terrorists, the cyber rats, are responsible. They meddled with the planet's weather satellites, and this changing hell is the result. I'm standing here outside the factory in the early hours of the first day of winter. The temperature has dropped 30 degrees in the last hour, and the winds are rising, giving warning of the blizzards to come. Soon, I will have to return to the safety of the factory complex or risk death from a dozen natural causes. Empire technicians are working on repairing the weather satellites as a matter of urgency, and the word is we will have normal conditions restored soon. In the meantime, the brave men and women of Clan Wolf struggle valiantly to bring all systems online so that mass production of the new star drive can begin as scheduled and as promised. I will, of course, be here to show you the opening ceremony live. This is Tobias Schreck for Imperial News on Technos 3. Cold, bored, tired, pissed off, really, really pissed off, and bloody hungry.
The picture on the monitor screen disappeared, replaced for a moment by spinning fractals, before one of the two men watching it leaned over and turned it off. Tobias Schreck, also known as Toby the Troubadour, PR flack for Clan Schreck, and as that stupid frat who managed to really upset his Uncle Gregor and ended up freelancing on a hell world like Technos 3, straightened up and glared at the lowering sky. The darkening clouds were appreciably thicker now, and the gusting wind was so strong he had to brace himself against it. He huddled inside his fur coat, pulled out a filthy-looking handkerchief, and blew his nose noisily.
I hate this place. The weather's insane, the natives are as friendly as a serial killer on amphetamines, and there isn't a decent restaurant on a whole damn planet. I should have known there had to be some underhanded reason for the Home Office's eagerness to sign me up and offer me an immediate assignment.
Think positive, said his cameraman,
a tall, gangling sort called Flynn, wearing a long, heavy coat of assorted dead animals that still wasn't long enough to accommodate someone of his great height. He had a deceptively honest face, only partly undermined by the holocamera sitting on his shoulder, like a squat, deformed owl. He set about dismantling the lights that had shown Toby to his best advantage, and carried on speaking with a blithe disregard as to whether Toby was still listening.
At least we've got nice warm quarters in the complex to hole up in. Those poor sods on guard duty are wearing thermal suits on top of their thermal underwear, and they're still freezing their butts off. I hear if you fart out here, it rolls down your trouser leg onto the ground and breaks.
Those guards are highly paid mercenaries, highly trained in the art of rendering people down into their component parts in the shortest time possible, and therefore, by definition, not really human. And you can bet they're being paid a damn sight more than you and I are. And the factory complex gives me the creeps. Most of the factory's automated, and the clone workers who do everything the machinery can't are even less human than the guards.
Flynn shrugged, and his camera grabbed his shoulder with clawed feet to steady itself.
Clones aren't employed for their social skills. They've been designed and conditioned to within an inch of their humanity to be the perfect workforce, and nothing else. They're here only because there has to be a human decision-making presence at all times. Can't just leave it to the computers, not after the Shub Rebellion.
We can cut the last few seconds from the tape. Did I leave out anything important?
Not really. Technically, you should have mentioned that it was the Campbells who started the ball rolling here before the Wolves took it over, and you could have mentioned there are a few local problems with rebel terrorists which will undoubtedly be sorted out soon.
No, I couldn't. The Wolves would only censor it. We don't need any depth for an introductory piece. Leave it till the interviews, and I'll try to bring it up then. Though you can be sure nothing even remotely good about the Campbells will make it into the final cut. Doesn't make any difference. The Wolves won the hostile takeover, and no one likes a loser. These days, the few surviving Campbells are about as popular as a fart in an airlock. Let's get inside, Flynn. I can't feel my fingers, and my feet aren't talking to me. And the weather can turn extremely nasty in a blink of an eye when it feels like it. God, I wish I was back on Golgotha. Even attending court was safer than this.
Why are you here? You never did get around to explaining just what you did to get Gregor Schreck, his own bad self, so mad at you.
I don't have to tell you anything. You haven't even told me what your other name is.
One name is all a cameraman needs. Now spill all the grisly details or I'll make you look really podgy on camera.
Blackmailer. All right. Basically, the church was growing increasingly dubious about the moral probity of its ostensibly faithful son, Gregor. I'd been keeping his extremely dubious private habits under wraps through some inventive PR and heavy backhanders where they would do the most good, but stories kept getting out anyway.